Hey, that one, we didn't say that. That wasn't a Don't Write Us. That was I'll explain her role. The station, the radio station, which, as you know, spares no expense. We have a hot tub, a green room. They have hired full-time, put her on a retainer, Dr. Sue Johansson. Now, she's 89 years old now, and she does 590 seminars for the employees. That should never have been recorded. That was a seminar for the women who work here. It was supposed to be a closed door, and apparently somebody did a clandestine sort of under-the-table recording of
John
her.
John Hadley.
Well, John Hadley. Well, he could, you know what? He could have hidden the recording.
Yeah.
That sounds like him.
Yeah.
So apologize. That should never have been recorded.
David Solomon.
Well, he's another troublemaker, yeah. But he runs a great board.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to what I think is the most entertaining and informative and fun radio show in this town. And I'm not kidding when I say that. And there's a reason I'm saying that. If this show goes away, it must resurface somewhere in some form. It must. Because I got a pretty good handle on the programming part of this business, and I feel really good about what we do, and I think you do too. So welcome to the greatest show. Not the greatest show on earth. That would be your Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey. They took that one. But a show we're happy to bring you on this, the 23rd of July, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Was it 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day?
I was going to say it was 20 days ago, but this is July. It was the 3rd of June.
What is wrong with you?
I think I
said 23rd of July.
Yeah,
and then
I know.
You said, oh, this is July.
Yeah, well, I was going to say.
You know, you just sound like an idiot.
No, I was going to say that was 20 days ago.
Idiot!
But no. This is July.
Yeah.
So it was the
3rd. But how could the 23rd of July have been 20 days ago, even if this weren't July?
No, the 3rd of June. I was going to say the 3rd of June was 20
days ago.
You
know how often things you say don't make any sense to people?
Oh, a lot.
Okay, as long as you're aware of it.
Oh, yeah.
This is like the conversation with Joe Pesci and the guy that played Christopher on The Sopranos in Goodfellas. You know, Spider, I thought you said you wanted... No, I thought you said you're okay. No, bye. That's what you guys remind me of.
Thank you. That's a compliment. Good movie.
You being Joe Pesci and him being and Dan being Spider.
Thank you.
I'm Spider.
I take
Spider.
That as a compliment.
That's a cool
now,
name.
We're going to the Burke segment, but then let me explain how this show works. Unlike any other show, and Dan and I in particular, and I don't know about Tim and how much he has looked at other people's show prep at other stations, but everywhere I've ever worked. And in some cases, it's necessary, and this is a compliment. Larry Connors, for example, who's on way too late at night. He absolutely should be on during the day. But he prepares that show, and you can tell he prepares it. Dan and I have worked with a guy. He just passed away recently, and he hasn't lived in St. Louis for a while, but he did work with us for a while. And when I tell you this, it's not an exaggeration. I'm not making it up. We saw it on his desk. He would come in 5 to 6 hours before his show and type up every single word that he was going to say, including his own name. We saw on his desk.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. It's Danny O'Day or what his name was typed.
Yeah.
He read every word. So he over prepared. Here's how the show works. I just drove in and stopped somewhere and had a salad, spinach salad, trying to be good. Trying to lose some weight, cut down on the calories, and I got a story about that, too, about what just happened to me. But I walk in, and I'm thinking, what can we do today? All I have in my head is the joke. I do usually come in with the joke that I want to tell, and I have one now, but that could change. Somebody could mention a joke, so I don't know. And I walk in, and I'm standing right next to Tim as he's doing the news. And he had a news story, and as soon as I heard him read it, I thought, I know exactly what we're going to do. That's all I'll tell you. But for now, does anybody have anything to say?
Wow. I don't.
I'd like to give another shout-out, if that's possible.
How about a shout-out to God for the weather?
Oh, no kidding.
Way to go, God. Way to go, buddy.
Thank you, God. I'm telling you, this is yesterday, too, an incredible day. So what's the shout out?
All right, so I've started my new college course now. I've got done with my first class, which was English.
And this is cybersecurity.
Yeah, this is like the actual learning the basics of, you know, Microsoft Word, Google Apps, Google Drive, stuff like that. And I've started making Excel spreadsheets.
Okay.
Right. Never made an Excel spreadsheet in my life until last week, and I was just not really getting it. So thankfully, one of my
and by the way, for what it's worth, I have no idea how to do that. I don't know. Read like, a spreadsheet, type a spreadsheet. I don't know.
I was a complete novice. I was doing okay, but there were some things that I
a
just
spreadsheet
didn't get.
To me was the centerfold in Playboy. Thank you. Well, for a couple of reasons, you spread the pages.
Yeah, right.
She's, yeah. Okay.
I get you. And he went through, and this guy has, I mean, he's retired now, but when it comes to Excel, he is at the top of his game. He remembers when it was used to be called Lotus 1-2-3 or something like that.
Oh, my goodness,
and
Lotus.
That's going way back.
That's going back to Prodigy.
Like, I don't even know if I was, like, you know, older than five when that stuff was out or whatever, right. Lotus. But he showed me what to do, and I ended up getting, on one Excel spreadsheet, I got 100 out of 100.
Right? Wow.
So, our boy.
There you go.
That's our boy. And you know, when you started on this show, you weren't that smart.
I was not.
No.
No, I'm much smarter now.
You have really come around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely have. So, David Reeder, thank you very much, sir, for helping me. I'm probably going to need some more help as it goes.
Free good grades.
There you go. See? Yeah. Yeah.
Helps. Who is out. David?
That is my best friend's dad.
Ah. He's oh, I thought it was a teacher at school.
No. Okay. No, he used to work for Anheuser-Busch, believe it or not, actually.
Anheuser-Busch,
oh, sorry. Sure. Building their breweries or distilleries or something like that. He used to, like, you know, go in and actually piece out the machines and everything and how it's going to look and all that. And, yeah, so that was him. Now he's retired, and he's helping me with Excel spreadsheets. Thank you very much.
Do you know that you just said something?
What?
That reminds me of a joke I haven't told in at least three or four years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It requires a Swedish accent, which I don't do, but you want to hear the joke? It's a good joke.
I would love to.
But you have to remember, too, because this is important. This is a joke where the people in the joke, this all would be taking place, let's say, in the 70s.
Okay.
That's important.
Okay.
So, a Swedish woman visiting America walks into the bar and sits down at the bar and orders a beer. And the bartender says, all right, one beer coming up. And he looks at her and he goes, Anheuser-Busch? She goes, fine, how's your packer? Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Wow.
I like that.
All right, thank you. So we're having the reason he's hesitating is the 70s is because he says Bush.
Right.
There are no Bushes anymore.
Yeah, right, no.
Anybody else? No, nobody? That was it?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Tim looks like he has something.
I'm just angry. I'm an angry man.
Well, let's hear it. This is the place. Tim Woodburn, everybody. You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm angry.
You actually look angry.
I know. I'm angry.
You have a yeast infection?
People, turn on 11.2. Look how angry this guy is.
Jeez. I don't even know where to begin. I've had such an angry, angry, angry morning that everything has angered me.
And that's all inclusive.
I mean, Limey and I have like a little standard running joke. He says, how's Tim doing today? And I give him a number between 1 and 10.
Yeah, which is good.
Today's
one,
not good.
Ten is good.
Ten being the best.
Is this like a two?
Well, I told him four, and then I said to myself that was high.
You backed it down to three.
That was a high.
Wow.
And let me say something else. You must be really angry because it's hard to be angry on a day like today.
It is gorgeous.
That makes
weather,
that makes you even angrier.
To divulge how angry I am, though, would actually divulge how. In a certain way, how demented I am, in some things that I do away.
Oh,
from
you
the
don't
station.
Have to divulge that.
Oh, okay. I'll say it.
Okay.
Last July, my house was burglarized during the show.
Whoa.
And I know who did it.
Ooh.
And
stop right there. Real quickly, I had something stolen from my house, and I know who did it, but I can't prove it. Go ahead.
I know who did it, and it was a friend of mine that I had dated briefly, and she, I believe... I know she stole a second garage door opener out of my house and came in and knew that I was here from 3 to 6 and burglarized my home of medicine that I take.
Because she had been in your home and probably snooped in the medicine.
Yeah, right.
Which they say women do.
Well, she had an addiction issue with this particular medicine. I'm prescribed Xanax for anxiety.
Okay.
And she, and there are people that abuse that. And so she came into my home, knew exactly where I had it, took it, and helped herself to some cash that I had in an area of my home office.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You're a private investigator.
Yeah.
When do you think this happened? How long ago?
Oh, I know exactly when it happened.
Recently.
Last July.
Okay, that's right. You said that. Yeah. Okay. As a private eye, I'm just surprised, unless this is a somewhere in the basement, unfinished part of the basement, that you don't have. Oh, but it was in the, was it bathroom?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't, okay, camp cameras. You don't have cameras in the bathroom.
Right.
Okay.
Well, the thing is that I just had a new security system installed in my house. I had some cameras in my house, but there was a way to get around it, and the way to get around it is if you had access to my garage, which she did, and that's how nobody saw her, because she had access to my garage, and she pulled her car into my garage and pulled it in there and then closed it and then was able to weasel her way around.
Because she knew exactly where to go.
I didn't have enough.
Your garage has access to the house, right?
Correct.
With a door, lock the door?
Into the laundry? No.
Oh,
I don't think most people do either. The garage to the kitchen. Yeah. I don't think most people lock that.
I never do either, but Sandy always does. Sandy will lock the
Who's
garage.
Sandy?
My girlfriend. She will She will lock the door going into the kitchen from the garage.
After this happened, I accused her of it. She denied it. I knew it was her. I didn't have proof, but I knew it was her. And as on occasion, I'll monitor CaseNet here in the studio to check on some people to see, you know, I wonder if so-and-so's been arrested recently, blah, blah, blah. So, sure enough, about 2 months after this happened, she got arrested for fleeing and evading police in St. Charles and punched a cop and punched the guy that she was in the car with. She had an alcohol and drug problem and got arrested and then didn't show up for court. Got a bail bondsman.
Oops.
Had a bail bondsman that showed up and paid her $5,000 bail and showed up and got her out of jail. And then she didn't show up for court. And then the court issued an order to
arrest her.
And they issued an order to have the bail bondsman show why he shouldn't have to forfeit the entire $5,000 because his client didn't show up for court.
Oh, man.
So I went and put a GPS device on her car in the middle of the night one night.
Oh.
And called the bail bondsman, and we developed a rapport, and I told him exactly where she was, and she was in a casino parking lot, and he went and I got her arrested. Took the GPS off her car, walked up to the vehicle, I took the GPS off the car, looked inside, and she had a to-go box from a really nice restaurant of food.
You ate it.
The door was locked, or I would have. If the door hadn't been locked, I would have taken a picture of the food, of me eating the food, and I would have texted it.
Oh.
So I waited about 2 months before I let her know that it was me that did it to her,
mm-hmm.
right before Christmas.
Good.
Nice. Merry Christmas, good, by the way. Here's it.
Good.
After all that went down, this girl actually reached out to me today and said, hey, it's been a long time. I know we've had some issues. You want to hang out
today?
Well, now, hold on.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Is this why you're mad?
The whole thing has brought me up. Is one element of my anger. That whole situation has just brought up how angry and upset I was that it went down, that a friend of mine would do that to me, and it has just snowballed downhill from there.
Oh.
And I haven't responded.
I understand that. I wouldn't respond either, but you know as well as I do, anybody in this room, a drug addict and alcoholic will do anything.
I know. Yeah. I know, and part of me thought it was a setup.
Yeah.
Part of me thought it was hey, let's hang out. You know, hey, what are you doing? Miss you.
I need some more Xanax.
Let's hang out.
Did she say any of the magic words like BJ?
No. Nothing provocative like that. Nothing provocative like that. It was.
Is she good looking?
Oh, decent.
Hmm?
Yeah. Decent.
I don't understand why you're so mad today.
Because of that, and because of something that happened to me right before I walked in the studio.
What?
Because these jerks at the auto dealership that I bought my car from, not Johnny Landoff, because I bought the car before I started the show, but these jerks in the service department of a big time dealership here in town. The rear latch button on my Nissan Pathfinder is broken, and I took it in there last Friday to get about $200 worth of work done, oil change, alignment on my new tires, other stuff, and told them that the latch button's broke, I want you to fix it. Well, we're going to have to diagnose the problem first. Diagnose what? The button's
the latch is fixed. Broken.
He said, well, there's two ways. We might have to go in through the inside. We might have to go through the outside. I said, well, what, you're going to charge me by the hour for labor on it, right? Yeah. Well, just charge me for the most expensive way and just do that one. But I don't want to pay the diagnostic fee. They refused to work on my car without me paying $110, I believe, or $115 diagnostic fee. So I said, I'm not paying it. I'll find some other mechanic to fix it. I ain't paying it. Shove it up your rear end, fix my car, and I'll get my button fixed elsewhere. Because it was working. There was days where it would jam a little bit or jiggle. So today when I arrived at the station, I keep my laptop bag in the back of the car. I go, and the button is now completely broke. And I can't get into the back of my car.
Oh, you...
Except to get in the other side.
You have to climb over the seat?
I had to climb in through the side door and crawl back over the back seat and get back down there and then drag my laptop up and over. And it was aggravating, and it was about 2:56 when this happened, and we go on the air at 3:00. Okay. And it's just, you know, so
Landau Service Department works on all times.
Okay, listen, hold on. Now, don't get mad at me on the air. You can be mad at me off the air, but don't get mad at me when I tell you this. I haven't heard one thing yet that would warrant a 2 or a 3 on a 1 to 10 of anger. It's a bad day. Does that make sense?
I lost a PI client that's going to affect me adversely financially.
That's bad.
I got a bill in the mail for something that I didn't think was going to cost me as much as it did, and it was way more than I thought it was going to be, and that's anger. It's just every little
thing. Everything kind of angered me. It's one of those days. Mm-hmm. There are certain days mm-hmm. where it just seems like, what next? Mm-hmm. What next?
I know.
Does this dealership begin with an S?
No.
Oh.
No.
Surprise.
And I don't want to trash the dealership.
No.
Well, I don't like to give advice when people don't ask for advice.
Give me some advice, Frank.
Well, here's my advice. Something happened to me about, I don't know, a week or two, just a couple weeks mm-hmm. ago. And I think for the last week or two, and I hope I can continue, I am kind of a different person. I am in a better mood. I have decided to try my best. I have spent my entire life worrying. I mean, to the point of can't sleep, the worst of the worst. I have two things right now in my life that I never, ever, ever would have thought I'd have to deal with. Two of them. And then a couple of things happened. A very good friend of mine, a really great guy with a great wife, she just dropped dead. This guy is the loneliest guy. And I have two friends like this who lost their women. And they are beyond lonely and sad and lost. And I thought, what if that had been me? It's not me. I know almost most people I know have been divorced. They've paid child support, alimony, their kids are in rehab. Not me. None of that. So the two things that I have are both big things, but in the whole scheme of things, and this is one day in your life. And by the way, every one of these things will somehow magically get worked out. They just will. And 2 or 3 days from now, you're going to be in a really good mood. Something good will happen. Something good will also happen. Now, I know that sounds really corny. I know it does. But every once in a while, my wife has to remind me. She said, you never got divorced. You never paid child support. You never paid alimony. We don't belong to country clubs. We don't use drugs. We hardly drink at all. Our kids are fantastic. Now what? She said, go ahead. Now what? What's so bad? Mm-hmm. And when she says that, I go, you know what? She's right. Now, that's not your life. You don't have kids. But, look what you do for a living. I think you do two things that you like to do. You like the PI thing, or you're about fed up with it. Maybe you're fed up with it.
I like the money.
Yeah. Well, you have to have a reason to like a job. It's either going to be money or because you live in Hawaii or you just love what you do. And I think you like coming in here. I mean, this is, let's be honest.
I just like the people I work with.
Hang on while I vomit. Hold on. So you'll be fine. And for the next 2.5 hours, you're going to have fun.
I will confess. I've told Limey this off the air. I will confess that there have been days I've come in here just aggravated AF, aggravated beyond.
I can tell. I know. I can tell.
And this show puts me in a better mood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True.
Usually.
But I can tell. I know every day before we start that you are. I can tell when you are because, believe it or not, your eyes give it away and you turn just a little bit red. Not from embarrassment, from something that is just building. But nothing you've mentioned is life-changing. It's just not. And I like having you in here.
Thank you.
Okay. So that's got to be worth something because I don't like most people. I just don't. I don't take to most people.
You know what? And you talk about how you don't like to be out in public. Every time I see, I just saw you out there in the court with Melissa, our sales manager, and a woman. And you talk. And when I watched you at the event that we had before we went on the Rhine River cruise, and you worked the room like you were a stand-up comedian.
Oh no, I'm good at it.
And you work room and you work people and stuff like that. But then you say you don't like going out and doing things in public.
It makes me sick. It makes me nervous. It makes me nervous and sick. I have stage fright. Hmm. I'm afraid to get up in public. Now, when you get up with all listeners, you can't lose. Like, when I introduced you at the thing before the cruise, nobody's going to boo you. They like you. They're not going to boo any of us. They like the show. They like us. But on the times I've had to get up where I didn't have any idea if anybody out in the audience even had any clue who I was or what we did. And it does make a difference. When Bob Hope would get up, no matter where he got up, he received rousing round of applause and laughter. He wasn't the funniest guy in the world, but they respected him and they liked him and they knew what he did for this country and for the troops. And Bob Hope could not do any wrong. There's no way he'd ever get booed or have people not welcome him or make him feel welcome. So when it's listeners, it's easy because they've let us know. They like what they do. They like what we do here. They like you. They didn't like you for the first month or two. They didn't like Limey either. And I've had many conversations with people about this. How if you let knee-jerk reaction or initial impression of people direct you or guide you, sometimes it's a huge mistake. I had emails from people saying, get rid of you, that your accent was fake, many of those, okay, and all that crap. And I just read it, and I responded, and I said, well, I appreciate the feedback. And here's what I told most of them. Everywhere I've ever been, I've been that many stations, but three or four, and every single one of them, the first month I was there, the station management got mail about how this was a mistake and they should get rid of me. Okay, and turns out they were wrong. And they were wrong about you, and they were wrong about Limey. And this will all work out. I don't like that I'm old. I don't like it. But there's not a thing I can do about it. And I think part of the reason it bothers me is people tend to judge people after they're a certain age. They just assume things about you. And many times they're wrong. And since there's nothing I can do about it, I'll just try to think younger because I can't help that. Look, we laugh like 12-year-olds at Sue Johansson talking about, you know, vaginal whatever, like we're in high school or something. I'll do that till I'm 90 years old, and you guys will too. You just will. It's just the way we're
forever.
Made. Yeah, but things are. Nobody gets a free ride. I mean, nobody, nobody. If you get to know people, and you should, if they want to open up, just start talking to people that you know, but you've never really talked to them. You're gonna find out. Let me put it this way. There have been people in my life years ago, not for the last few years. I don't do this anymore. But I look at somebody and go, man, I'd like to be you. I'm basing it on where they live, how much money they make, how good looking they are.
It's the whole grass is greener, right?
Exactly.
He used to say that about me all the time.
Good looking. And then you find out something about them. And you go, oh, my goodness. I don't know what I would do. I didn't know you had a child with cerebral palsy. Nobody. I don't care how much money you have, how good looking you are. Start digging. Nobody gets it all. They just don't. And most people, at least a lot of people, have it a lot worse than any of us in this room. Dan, if we could take a pill and become, or at least have whatever this is that Dan has, the ability to, no matter where he is or who he's with, you know what I'm talking about, He enjoys everybody. He enjoys every place he goes. He laughs. I don't know how he does that, because I know things about Dan's life, things that other people don't know, and it's not pretty. And a lot of it is just tragic and sad, and some of it, some people would kill themselves over. But Dan, you need to know, everybody who, this is the kind of thing we wait till people pass away to say. And we need to stop that. So Dan, what you need to know is that everybody who's ever around you loves to be around you. They just do.
Yeah.
No, you need to know yeah. that. It's not a joke.
Oh, I know.
You make any room of people more fun to be in.
And I appreciate it.
And here's the thing. When I've been with you and we've had to get up in front of people, it is a tremendous comfort to me to know that no matter how scared I am, no matter what I think is going to happen when I get up, I hope this goes well. If you're there, I don't worry about it, because you will get up and say something so stupid that everybody will burst out laughing, or you'll just do something stupid. And then everybody's fine. Everybody's okay.
And he's willing to do anything that you ask him to do. And I wasn't quite aware of the relationship that you and Dan had with regard to anything you ask him to do, he'll do, until we went to the dinner prior to the Europe trip. And even though everybody in the room could hear, you asked Dan to come up and do sign language of your speech.
Yes.
And Dan stood behind you and did the most R-rated, borderline yeah. X-rated version of sign language of what you were saying behind your back to everybody that was there in the audience. And I thought, right then, if Frank asked him to jump off a cliff, he'd do it.
Okay, but here's what you don't know.
No,
that was
really
Dan's idea. I didn't ask that. We had done that at this thing for the last 3 or 4 years. It was like everything else here. It was a running gag, but it was your first time to be part of it.
Okay.
So there's a sausage
but he
joke.
It was so embarrassing to watch him do
it. Oh, of course it was.
And it was so embarrassing. I don't know what your reaction is when you get embarrassed. It's like the other day I thought when you ran Sue Johansson, I closed my eyes and put my hand over my eyes.
Oh.
Even though this is a radio show, because I was so embarrassed. If there's scenes on a movie that make me uncomfortable, nothing worse than a guy going in for a kiss and you know he's going to get rejected.
Oh, boy.
You know, and God, you just can't watch that train wreck of him getting rejected when he goes in for the kiss. Oh. And I do the same. I close my eye. I'll turn the channel, or I'll close my eyes and cover them if I know it's going to happen like that. And that was, I almost cringed and closed my eyes when I saw what Dan was doing behind your back at that thing, because you would say something that had absolutely nothing to do with what Dan was doing.
Oh, no, I don't even have to look at him. I can imagine what he's
Dan
doing.
Dan was doing, like, you know, sexual gyrations and all these other ridiculous, I mean, just, you know.
I could say something like, and then the little girl pulled a flower from the garden, and Dan will act like he's humping somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just sign language. It's ridiculous.
He'll act like he's spanking two girls on their knees, you know, and it's like, what does that have to do with the food on the boat? You know, that's just, you know.
But one of the things, and it took me years to learn this, and I didn't learn it until several years ago, is when people say, how you doing, just tell them you're doing fine, because nobody they really don't want to hear your stuff. They just don't. And Dan never does that. Even on days when I know what's going on, you'd think this guy's on top of the world and had $100 million in the bank and was married to Heidi Klum and got, I mean, it's just, how can somebody be that happy? And I don't know the answer, and even Dan doesn't know the answer. It's the way he's wired. It's just like some people are wired to be miserable and make other people miserable. And everybody knows somebody like that I'm talking about. They want everybody around them to know every rotten thing going on. Well, my daughter's back in rehab. Oh, yeah, and I caught my husband cheating again. And, yeah, they're going to foreclose on our house. Shut up. I mean, shut up.
Nobody cares.
What's funny about that is that I have a birthday coming up this week where I turn 50. Uh-huh. And one of the things that occurred to me on the river cruise we were on was that everybody that I met, if you asked them, well, you know, so what's going on, you know, how you doing, how's your health, I learned not to ask anybody how your health is.
Oh yeah,
because anybody who's 50 or even 60 or over, That's an hour-long conversation that you don't participate. That's an hour-long sermon that you listen to when you ask somebody how
they're helping. But, Tim, here's the deal. Very soon, you're going to be participating in that. No, you are. You're going to, well, I told you I had my hip replaced. They go, how'd that go? Well, fine, now my rotator goes. And then that's what we talk about.
And then the doctors did this, and then I had 3 months of this. I was like,
I dropped one of my doctors. I can't believe how rude he was. It's all about doctors. But it's also about kids and grandkids and vacation and good things, too.
My proctologist had really fat fingers, so I dropped him.
Oh. Hang on, there's an intruder in the studio.
You gonna bring him up, put him on air?
No,
he's going to leave him out?
Yeah, he's on another show. But everybody wants to be on this show. Right. It's the show they want to be on. So any way they can get in here. So that's it. I'm sorry you're having a bad day. But you know what? It really will... It'll be gone.
Oh, I know. I have one. I don't know how many bad days you have a week. I have at least one, and I would say that the over under is two.
I was having up until very recently four at least a week.
Wow.
No. But then I realized it's because I made them bad. Because it's in my head. Oh, most of the bad stuff's in my head. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? This could happen. That could happen. And I don't know who it was, Mark Twain or whoever, said that something like, you know, I've had a lot of bad things in my life, and some of them actually happened. Meaning, usually, when you think, oh, no, it just wasn't quite as bad as you thought it was going to be.
There are certain go-to people I have in my phone that I know will make me laugh. Or put me in a better mood.
Good.
That I don't talk to very often, I sort of save it for a rainy day, to call and say, hey, how you doing? What's going on? You're like, because I know the conversation is going to be humorous.
You think they know that you're calling them because you just need to?
No.
They just think you're checking in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
You got those people.
Mm-hmm. I have something to make Tim feel better.
I have one other thing. He's not going to really like it. Tim, you're off the show. You're fired. Okay, go ahead, Dan. What do you have? No, I'm kidding. Yeah, go ahead.
Put me in a better mood.
What,
Dan? To make Tim feel a little better, my friend David lost his ID today. Now he's known as Dave.
See, let me tell you, Dan, why that didn't work.
I got it.
No. It didn't work. Because if he lost his ID, his name would be Dav.
Dav.
D-A-V, not Dav. D-A-V-E. So, well, see, that's not even...
But I thought about that, and I thought, isn't it David? So it's David, but if it's Dav, D-A-V...
So you see why it doesn't make sense?
Yeah.
He lost his ID, now he's Dave. No, he's Dav.
Now it's Dav.
I see Dave's point, though, because it's David with the ID, and so with the ID, why would you change the accent of the A in the word?
I think it's
what in the world are we even... Why are we even dissecting? This is unbelievable. I can't believe we're even talking about that ridiculous joke.
Would you like to talk to Tom?
Sure.
He's been on hold for 30
I'd love
minutes.
To talk to Tom. Tom, welcome to 590 The Fan on our all-new format, Psychology Today. What's going on?
Well, Frank, thanks for taking my call, my friend.
You bet.
Hey, Tim, I heard you're having a bad day, but I just want to tell you I really enjoyed that book you wrote, and I just recently bought several copies. They make great coasters.
Thank you, Tom.
And they're great, like when your table starts to, like, you have four-legged table and it starts to, like, wiggle the one way. My book is the perfect size to fix your table's wiggle.
Yeah.
Did he hang up?
So is the Sunday Post-Dispatch. Yeah. Oh. It's thin enough now you can put it under the leg of it. I'm serious. Newspaper's in trouble. I picked up USA Today this morning. My high school paper was bigger than USA.
Yeah. Wow.
What's happening to us is happening to the newspaper business.
Everybody's going online.
And the TV business. All right, so that's what?
Well, no, I've got something else here. Apparently today is the anniversary of the Ozark Airline crash, and you have a spooky story about it.
Oh, I have an extremely spooky story.
Ooh. Would you mind telling the extremely spooky story? One of our listeners has requested it.
This is the anniversary
and what was
of
it?
That
It was 1970-something.
I have no idea.
Well,
it was
in the 70s. It was July 23rd, 19... I'm going to say 70...
Got some spooky music.
Two or three... head of research can look it up. Ozark Airlines crash in St. Louis. I'm going to say 72. Two-ish. I'm within a year, I think. It was this date, really?
Yeah, apparently so.
Well, the fact that you mentioned that story actually sort of gives away the other part of the story, but I will tell it again.
73.
Okay, 73. So in 1973 on this date, that did happen. But the story, the interesting story is, and I have to, there's a backstory.
Okay.
And the backstory is that my mother, who I wish I had... I wish I were sadder that she's gone, but she didn't particularly like me, and I, whatever. We butted heads a lot. But she had, part of her problem was that she was tormented and tortured with this gift she didn't want of ESP. I do not, there is not a psychic. There's no such thing as a psychic, but there is extrasensory perception. There are people that sense things, maybe not specifically, and for as long as I can remember, my mother was cursed with this ESP, and it was really powerful. I will set this up with two examples. I was 16 years old. We lived in Waterloo, Illinois. We lived in a little bitty house, and she's at the kitchen. No people had dishwashers then. Dishwasher was your hands. And she's at the kitchen sink, and there's a window, and she's looking at it. She's drying a dish, a plate. And she looked out the window and just froze like she was in a trance, and she dropped the plate and broke it. And I said, "Mother, you okay?" I thought she had a stroke. And she just stared out the window, and she said, "Somebody in our family died just now." Oh. Now, my dad's at work. I thought my dad had a heart attack, because I knew when she pulled this something, but she couldn't be specific. She didn't know who it was. Within 60 seconds, the phone rang. That beige wall phone that everybody had with a 90-foot coily cord that was always tangled up, it rang. She walked over and answered it, and she said, "Oh, no. Oh, no. We'll pack tonight, and we'll be on the way tomorrow." My step-grandfather, her mother's second husband, had gone up on the roof to turn the antenna. For you youngsters, you used to have to direct the antenna and turn it to get a better signal, and he slipped and fell onto the driveway pavement and died. And she knew the second that it happened, and they were 700 miles away. Okay, that's one example. So on a Monday in July in 1923, and this used to really drive me nuts, and I did not like it. She called me about 7 o'clock in the morning. My wife and I had been married 2 years. We lived up in North County, Raintree Apartments off of Lilac. And I was just about to walk out of the house shortly. It was 7. I usually headed for work about 7:30 or 8, and the phone rang, and it was her. And she said, "Be careful on the way to work today." And I said, "Why? What does that mean?" Because I actually had started to get tired of this, because it messes with your head. And I also knew that she was accurate enough that something was going to happen. I said, "Now what?" She said, "Well," she said, "last night, I had a dream. And in my dream, you were on your way to or from work, and something horrible happened." I said, "What does that mean?" And she said, "All I know is a lot of people got killed. And it happened while you were on your way to or from work, and there was some sort of a transportation vehicle involved with a lot of people, and there's a school. Be careful." Now, when I hung up, what's your immediate thought? School bus.
Right, yeah.
School bus, kids killed.
Yeah, sure.
So I went to work, and by the way, I drove to work like 10 miles an hour. Every school bus I saw, I was so nervous, right. And so it's horrible was going to happen. She said, "A lot of people die," she said. So I get to work, and what she said in her dream, she says, "In my dream, it's Monday, and you're on your way to or way home." This is Monday morning, she calls me. I go to work, nothing happened. I came home from work, just 10 miles of crawling, pulled into the apartment. Thank goodness. So I called my mother, and I said, "Mother, you know, I think sometimes when you do that and scare people, it's a misfire and maybe panic for nothing. I went to work and I came home and there's no bunch of people killed." She said, "I didn't say today. I said Monday." The next Monday, on my way home from work, Ozark Airlines, the only bad crash they ever had. I think 36 people were killed, and it happened during a thunderstorm on my way home. Flew over the top of me and crashed into, is it Flo Valley or whatever the school is there?
It was, yeah, I think it was.
So there's the school, there's the Monday, there's a bunch of dead people, there's the transportation vehicle, wow. And I'm on my way home from work.
You saw the plane right before it crashed?
No, but I heard something. Right. And then traffic started acting weird. I had a long way to go and lights and the sirens. And I didn't know what was going on. And then I'm listening to the radio, and they go, "Apparently there's been a plane crash. We'll give you more later." And by the time I get home, and I watch the news, I go, "Oh, my goodness, And you know what? I never even remembered her call from the previous Monday until I watched the news, and I thought, oh my goodness, that's exactly what she was talking to me about. And that's one of several creepy stories. And I can tell you, if I tell you the others, I mean, your hair will stand up. It was weird.
She had one with your brother, too, right? And his bike or something?
No, when I was in third grade, I missed the bus. And my brother told me that years later, he said that she was vacuuming. As women, you know, should do. And I missed the bus, so I had a little satchel. We didn't have backpacks. We had a little bookcase satchel. So I'm third grade. I thought, let's walk home. Well, I went the complete wrong direction. I'm headed walking out of town on the side of a road. I don't know where my house is. I don't know why I thought I could walk home. And my brother said she was vacuuming, and she just shut the vacuum cleaner off and grabbed him and says, come on, quick, get in the car, let's go. And he said, where are we going? She said, your brother's lost. And she drove right to me and picked me up. Yeah.
It says the plane was approaching Lambert Field. It descended over Florissant Road and Interstate 70. It clipped the tops of trees, splintered its wings,
yep,
and sheared off a section of a roof on a home on Lowen Drive, and then careened into a wooded slope near the University of Missouri, St. Louis, near the UMSL campus.
Yeah, UMSL. I'm telling you, I heard a sound above of a plane like I've never heard before, and then that happened, and that was her warning.
And the pilots lived.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Pirates lived.
It was
pilots lived in
UMSL.
Yeah.
I can never remember the campus. I know she said a school, but I can't remember the campus. You want one more of these?
You know what's messed up? It had the fattest headline of the day. You know how they do font size and they do bold face, you know, for the really important stories back in the day.
Right.
Then, they still do it in the newspaper business to a certain degree. It wasn't even the top story on the top. It was on the top fold. Remember how there was a top fold and a bottom fold because newspapers were in the state lock?
What the heck would have been the top story?
Richard Nixon, that somebody testified that Richard Nixon condoned burglary of the of the Watergate Hotel.
I'm not an editor, but I believe in St. Louis, a bigger story would be the Ozark Airlines.
Yeah, right. Well, it had a bigger font, but it wasn't at the top.
Wow.
It was the third story down from the top.
Wow.
Of the front page of the Post-Dispatch that day.
Since people like stories like this, creepy stories, I'll give you another one. I've told these before. Folks, I hope you don't mind. I've told them a couple times over the years. My mother used to like to go to flea markets, you know, the kind like the old Northwest Plaza, and it was just table after table of these people, these nomads who pack up their stuff and go to flea markets and lay out all their Life magazines and their record collections and their beer can collections and jewelry and coins and whatever. She loved to just walk through that stuff. So I wasn't there, but my wife was with her, and they're at a flea market here in St. Louis, and they're walking, and my mother stopped at a table, and at the table was some jewelry for sale. And there was a pair of coral earrings. And my mother, this according to my wife who was there, and I believe every word of it because I've been through this with her before. My mother reached down and picked up one of the earrings and threw it back on the table. And the woman behind the table, it was her display, she said, oh my, did you stick yourself? Because it was an earring, a pierced earring. I'm sorry, did you stick yourself? Are you okay? She goes, no, I didn't stick myself. The earring burned my hand. It burned, like she said, like fire, she told my wife. Burned her. And the woman said, she was confused. She said, I don't understand. My mother says, when that happens, it's an indication of something evil. And I'm telling you right now, whoever wore those earrings, something very bad happened. And my wife said the woman behind the counter looked like she was going to faint. And she said, well, these came out of an estate, and the last woman who wore them was brutally murdered.
Whoa.
Stabbed to death. Yeah. Creepy.
Yeah.
Pretty creepy.
Did your mom do this all throughout your childhood?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And I finally, as an adult, at one point, I said, Mother, I don't want to hear. I don't. If you think, I don't care what it is, please don't call me anymore with it. Just don't. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Because you're like walking on pins and needles. I mean, it's, she'd do it with,
Did it leave a burn mark in her hand?
No, she just felt the fire.
Oh, wow.
And that meant, and all these things meant something. She said a black tornado in a dream means death in the family. Okay. And burn skin when there's no fire is evil. Something evil associated what you thought burned you. I'll give you one last one, and then I'll put it to rest here. we did not have money. I mean, we were, my dad didn't know what a new car was. Well, I mean, he saved for like 3 years to buy a Masonic ring. It was $150. It was a black onyx ring with one little diamond, $150. You'd have thought that it was a Super Bowl ring. He was so proud. Oh my goodness, he was proud of that ring. And one night at the kitchen table, this is back when families actually sat down at the table and had what we call supper, there was just something wrong. He was quiet, always quiet, but it was more than that. And my mother said, what's wrong? What's the matter with you? He says, and he almost started to cry. He said, I lost my ring. Now, he saved for like 3 years for this $150. He said, I lost my ring. I've looked, and I can't find it. And my mother said, your ring is surrounded by solid white, the whitest white. And that white is surrounded by the blackest black. And that black is surrounded by the blackest black. I don't know what that means. Nobody knows what that means. You know where he found his ring? My dad worked in a printing room, a publishing company. He put hot type together and ink, and he's a laborer. He wore a printer's apron. Now, remember that she said your ring is surrounded by solid white, and that white's surrounded by darkness, and that darkness is surrounded by darkness. He found his ring wrapped in tissue paper, white Kleenex, inside his apron pocket, which is black, inside his locker, which is black.
Wow.
Wow. But see, that's as specific as she'd get. Even she didn't know what she was talking about.
Right.
But she had it to some extent. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a woman.
Your mom's a psychic.
There is a woman.
No, she wasn't psychic. See, that's there is no such thing as a psychic. She had ESP, and she really had it.
There's a woman who operated a psychic business on Telegraph Road in South St. Louis County, right next to JB Park, and she had two other psychic services that were in two different towns in Illinois. It was like a three ring. Mm. It was a three ring, whatever.
Right.
And her boyfriend was suspected of insurance fraud by the state of Missouri and hired my firm to conduct surveillance on this house where the two of them shared. And she worked the psychic business out of her home. It's right next to Walgreens. It's no longer there. It's right next to Walgreens at the entrance to JB Park on Telegraph Road. And I had a staff meeting that day, and I said, we got a three-day assignment to watch this house where the psychic lives, but the subject is her boyfriend. And I honestly had one of my employees raise their hand and go, well, if they're psychic, don't you think they'll know we're watching them?
Good point. Good point. Yeah.
I said to myself, how did you make it through my hiring qualification process that you would ask that question? How did you make it through the application process with the owner? Oh, that's right. I'm the owner.
I still can't believe the people that buy into that psychic BS. It's just unbelievable to me. And these people, Sylvia Brown, she's dead now. They make a fortune off that. There is no such thing. It's been proven. And by the way, one other thing. There's not one case where any psychic has ever helped the police solve a crime. That they can specifically say took us right to the body. Now, they'll show things like a body of water or trees. Well, okay, most bodies are in the water in the woods. That didn't mean anything. I have to do some business or out of business here. I spoke this morning with Johnny Londoff. Things are good thanks to you people. Now, I'm sure things would be good because it's a great dealership, but I'd like to think that over the last 14 years or so, we've helped push them over the top. I'd like to continue doing that if we could. They sell Chevrolets at Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, or it would say Johnny Londoff something else besides Chevy. They also sell pre-owned vehicles. Somebody was at the at a garage door company at my house because they had an issue with one of the opener buttons on the wall, and the guy looked at my Trailblazer, and he said, oh, my goodness. He said, I was out here about a year ago, and you were talking about that. How's that running? I said, like brand new. I said, I love that trail. That Trailblazer is an example of what they can do when you tell them what you're looking for pre-owned. If they don't have it, they may already have it, but they don't. They'll scout, they'll find it for you. If it's possible, they'll find it. So not just talking to those of you looking to buy brand new. Remember pre-owned also, and please don't forget their service department. It's a great service department. No, any business is only as good as the people there. And I don't care if it's a restaurant, a car dealership, and it's the people. It's not the Chevrolets. Chevrolets are everywhere. It's the people at Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. You'll see. I hope you will. If you're out car shopping, please include them. They're at the Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270 in North County, where they've been since 1960. And, of course, 24/7 at Londoff.com. Dan Buffa is in the building. He's in the barber chair. in the green room getting his beard trimmed. When that's finished, he'll be in right after Tim's news. Thank you for being with us. We still have a ways to go. We're with you till 6 o'clock. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Tim McKernan. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Phil Hewlett.
Expression of approval is not permitted in the gallery.
A round of applause in the Senate chamber as a bill extending funding for the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund has been approved by the Senate. Tennessee Republican Senator Mark